I can keep him when he is hungry. I can give him water if he is thirsty. I can endure him. I can put up with him. I will not get angry at him. So, an empty is a willful love, stuck with the mind. Then, this renews sincerity and faithfulness. It will be consistent from year to year. Then with the time, maybe your love starts to develop feeling towards the person. So a habit is not a controlled reaction of love, but it is a concentrated exercise of the will. The second characteristic of a habit is sacrificial. I told you, Eros receives only. Philia receives and gives. Agape gives all with no expectation to receive. Gives even to the extent to give yourself for the other. For God to love the world that He gave Himself. That agape is sacrificial. So this word of sacrificial is also unconditional. While we are sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. Philia is conditional, but the head is unconditional. And it is not exclusive love, but inclusive. It is limitless. It's not expressed to only few people in my life, but embrace all, include all, regardless age, race, gender, it includes limitless love. So agape is unconditional, sacrificial, limited, willful love. And actually most of the verses in the Bible that are translated into love in the Greek language, in the original text, it is agape. So when St. Paul spoke about the fruit of the Spirit, it's agape. When the Lord Jesus Christ told us love your enemy, it's agape. So this is the high form of love. And when God is Christ Himself, God is love, God is agape. Because the perfect illustration of agape is demonstrated in God. But after this introduction, I'd like to address the chemistry of love. I'm sure you learned about this when two persons get to know each other. They say that we don't feel connected. The chemistry is not working. So, is there chemistry for love or not? What do we mean when we use this term, chemistry of love? They found that there are two substances are secreted in our body. One substance they call it temporary happiness substance. And the other substance is called permanent happiness substance. The temporary happiness substance is called actually phenylethylamine, and the abbreviated PEA. PEA, phenylethylamine. And they call it temporary happiness substance. They found that what triggered the secretion of the substance when you get physically attracted to somebody. When you see somebody, maybe for the first time, and you get attracted to how she looks or how he looks, to the voice, to the way she or he speaks, whatever. They tell us that this substance is a secret somatotype. And this substance is responsible for this strong feeling of happiness that you experience, feeling so happy. And actually, there will be some physiological symptoms. For example, you feel that like your heart is beating so fast. Why? Because of this problem. So this substance is excreted into the body. Why they call it temporary? Because it reaches high ratio within short time, maybe a few hours or a few days. That's why you feel this extreme and strong feeling of happiness. And many times people say, you know, I love this person from the first sight. First time I see her, I love her. Actually, he's speaking about this feeling of happiness that he experienced because he got physically attracted to this girl. Then actually, if this substance is excreted for a long time, because of the numerous meetings, the numerous phone calls, the plenty of romantic words that we say to one another, then actually we will become addicted. Why addicted? Because every time I see this person that I love, this substance is excreted in me. And then actually I feel this happiness. Then, because I want to experience the same feeling again, I like to talk to her again. Because with every time I see her or I talk to her, you know, I re-experience the strong feeling of happiness. It's exactly like a drug. When a person is using drugs, so he reaches a certain level of happiness, then what makes him addicted? In how he wants to experience this feeling again. So he starts using the drug again and again and again until he becomes dependent on this drug. That's why in this case when Yaqfar breaking up the relationship, you're like some emotional breakdown or nervous breakdown. Exactly like when the body stops the drug out. He's so dependent on this, and then he throws the drug from him, so he gets into this nervous breakdown. So actually, the person, he does not love the other person, if you think about it. Actually, he loves the state of happiness that he is experiencing. Why do I want to see the person again and again? I want to see the person again and again because I like this feeling. So I am in a state of love. I cannot say I love the other person, but actually I am in a state of love. That's why I may encourage the other person to do something wrong. For example, I may encourage the girl to come and meet me behind her pillar. Why? Because I am in a state of love, I'm dependent on this feeling, so I want to see her regardless. Maybe she will get in trouble. You know, if I love the other person, I wouldn't do this. To encourage advise other persons to do something wrong or to rebel against their parents. If I really love this person, I wouldn't encourage her to rebel against their parents. That's why I'm in a state of love. But in reality, I cannot say that I love the other person. Being in a state of love means you are enjoying the state in which you are, more than actually you are loving the other person. This substance, unfortunately, does not last long in the human body. But the excretion of this substance stops or decreases. So as I told you, it reaches high ratio in a very short time, then it drops in a very short time. Especially after the emotional and physical satisfaction of kids. Even in marriage, this will drop after the physical and emotional satisfaction of kids. Can you give me an example from the Bible that a person loves another person and he reaches a very high level of excitement, and then after the emotional and physical satisfaction occurs, then actually this substance drops? That's why this love turns into hate. Yeah, that's what happened with Amnon, the son of David, with his sister Tamar. So it was not love. It is this feeling of happiness caused by the PEA, and when actually he sent to her this substance dropped, that's why he hated her. And this explains why this strong emotion comes down after marriage, and the strong rush towards the other person gets low. If they are dating, they spend time and hours together, maybe during the engagement. What about engagement and other marriage? They don't want each other at all. What happened? You know, because before it was based on this temporary substance, the PEA. So PEA is based and secreted based on the physical attraction. There is another substance called endorphins. The endorphin is permanent happiness substance. It is not secreted in the body based on physical attraction. But it is secreted based on pleasant experience. So here you see the other person, watch his morality, watch his principles in life. Then actually, the more you respect and admire this person for who he is, who she is, not her looks or not physically attractive. The more you respect and admire this person, the more this substance is secreted in your body. So, when the other person behaves with you in a noble manner, within many situations, then your love for her or him increases day by day. The PEA increases in a very short time, and increases in a very short time. The endorphin actually increases gradually, and the love is at peak. That's why love in this case is optional and free will act. In the PEA, that's the reaction. That's why you see somebody, you get attracted to her, your heart starts to beat rapidly. No, this is a reaction. It's uncontrolled reaction.
Here, you wrote it with your mind, and you approved and agreed by your heart. That's why you can make the other person love you. If you deal with them in another genuine way, if you deal with the other person in generous, gentle, supporting way, then actually the other person will love you. And this love will gradually grow and become deeply rooted in the heart of the child. If we understand how these two substances work, the PEA and the endorphin, actually we can say there are four types of marriage. Four types of marriage. Which is the best of life. We call it love before and after marriage. Love before and after marriage. Of course, this is the best case. Two persons will meet each other. They feel attracted to each other. But they don't make the decision based just on the attraction. They actually will notice and observe the morality and the spirituality, the values of the other person. So here actually they will enjoy the temporary happiness through the PEA. Because they will get attracted. And maybe they get to know one another through a fine love story. Then actually, after marriage, imagine Akira and the PA increase, and then after marriage starts to decrease. But because the decision also is made on the nobleness of the character, not only based on physical attraction, so actually with this PEA, what starts to be secreted? The endorphin. So why the PEA drops, the endorphin actually is growing. So the kiss will be like this, PEA, then when it drops, it will increase with the endorphin. That's why you see there is love before marriage and love after marriage. And they will enjoy the permanent happiness because of their true love and God's intimacy after marriage. The second type of marriage, which is also good, that's what we call love after marriage only. Unfortunately, this type is attacked a lot by our rulers. That's what we call the traditional marriage. Traditional marriage is actually how Isaac married Rebecca. Isaac didn't date Rebecca. And they went through romantic love story. No. Actually, Abraham sent his servant, Eliezer, to his family to choose a person with high morals. That's why, what was the sign? He said to the Lord, the woman that I will ask her to give me a drink, if she offered to give also water to my camel, this is a woman. Well, this means she is a generous woman. She offered to give water to the camel even without an animal. And this will determine the nobleness of her character. And then actually he took him back and brought him to Isaac. And Isaac married him. So in this marriage, maybe they did not enjoy the PEA, but because it was based on morality and spirituality, society, the value system, the principle, it is a successful marriage. This actually helps our grandparents were married. Although they did not date, but actually they had a successful marriage. Because they were looking for principle in the other person. For morality, for spirituality, for the family. Because there was good moral, grateful commitment, and virtues within both of them, the love and fear of God was in their heart. That's why they enjoyed a happy marriage, in which the endorphins were secreted, and actually they reached a high degree of love over many years of their marriage. Until they came to be one heart, one soul, and one body. And here for all the youth who refuse the idea of traditional marriage, I am telling you, this marriage also is not the best case ever, but it is good. And many examples in the Holy Scripture about successful marriage, they married this way, like the example of Isaac and the third and fourth type are bad types. But unfortunately, the third type is very, very common among our youth. That's actually the most common type nowadays. And this is a bad type. It is love before marriage only. And this is the most common case nowadays. Marriage is established based on the physical attraction, on the PEA. I see this girl, I love her, I want to marry her. Without considering her morality, without considering her spirituality, without considering her character. This reminds me of Samson and the decision of his marriage. He said to his father, she pleases me well. That's the PEA. He didn't look at the values of the family or the morality of the family. And if you read the story of Samson, you will see how this family was a very, very immoral family. They had no principle. But Samson made the decision only based on this attraction. So these people may experience a strong romantic love story. But how do you know whether this decision is based on the PEA or on both PEA and endorphins? If you encourage one another to do something wrong, then it's PEA. For example, if you encourage the girl to come and talk to you behind her parents, or you are trying to make techniques to hide your relationship from everybody around you, then it is not a right decision. If you got involved with many physical touches and physical attraction together and do many physical things that are not wrong, that are not right, then actually everybody is addicted. You don't love the other person, but you love yourself. So in selfishness, you allow yourself to have authority over the other person's body. Although, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the authority over the other person's body is only in marriage. In marriage, you have authority over your spouse's body. But outside marriage, you don't have this authority. That's why outside marriage, even holding hands, who gives you the authority to hold the hands? Who gives you the authority to hug each other? Who gives you the authority to kiss each other? Because many people think that the complete sense is what's normal. In marriage, the wife doesn't have authority over her body, but the husband does, and the husband doesn't have authority over his body, but the wife does. But outside marriage, you don't have authority.
So if you start to give yourself authority, that's key. That's the last, that's the aim of spark of love, not the adapt love.
So the couple starts acting in a very selfish way. Because you want to enjoy, you want to get the drug, the PEA or drug. Even if she or he will get into trouble because of this relationship, it's okay. That's extreme selfishness. And what will happen? They get married. And after they get married, the PEA starts to drop. But because there is no effect, there is no more. Then actually, in that manner, each person starts to appear. They start to yell, to fight, to scream, to curse one another. So here, the PEA dropped to zero, and there is no endorphin, because the endorphin is created based on the nobleness of the character. So the curse of love starts to drop down, to reach zero, or maybe even under zero, to the negative. So the love converts to hate. And many people, after a very, very strong love story, they get annoyed with each other. I hate her, I cannot stand her. I want to divorce. What happened? Again, because this decision was not based on the moral, the spirituality, the nobleness of the character, but it was based on your physical affection. So both of two parties started hating each other. And the person actually would be annoyed and angry with the other person. Especially after the execution of the PEA started to decrease. And it was noticed that separation and seeking divorce start as the execution of temporary happiness of the summit starts to decrease. And this will explain to you many cases where while they were dating one another, they were in a very, very strong love and marriage story, and 3 years after marriage, they are getting divorced. What happened? That is the type of love before marriage. The fourth type of love, which is the worst type of love, is no love before or after marriage. And what is it? Why do you get married? Usually, there is some sort of gain or personal interest here. For example, a guy wants to get his green card, his visa. So he marries a girl, he's not attracted to her, and maybe there is no morality in both of them. So there is no temporary happiness substance, neither permanent happiness substance. Or maybe there is greed, like a young girl marrying a man older than her, maybe 30 years, just because she is rich and, you know. So, how they make the decision of marriage? Number one, because we look at the personal interest more than the relationship itself. Or maybe they imagine that they are going to change the other person after marriage. And let me tell you, what you get is what you have. You are not going to change the other person. So if you are going to marry somebody hoping that one day you will change her or you will change him, you are deceiving yourself. You cannot change the other person. So, what you get in marriage is what you're going to have for the rest of your life. And definitely, there is no worse thing than this case. they never experience any love toward the Lord. Another Christian who knew a lot of us, falling in love. Although, yeah, I don't recommend using because love is not falling, but that is what many people use, falling in love. So I will try to explain to you how falling in love happens, and also how falling out of love happens. After we get to love one another, why we start to hate one another? Hoping that if we understand how falling in love happens and how falling out of love happens, this will help us in fixing our relationship. If you think about it, before you fall in love, you are independent. As a single person, you are living your life totally independent. But in marriage, you are not independent, you are interdependent. Because you depend on her and she depends on you. That's what we call interdependence. To move from independence to interdependence, you will move through three stages. So from independence to interdependence, from singleness to marriage, you will go through three stages. Then actually after you reach interdependence, you have one of three options. Either to remain in the interdependence state, which is the best option, that how it should be, or to move towards what we call dependence, which is a negative state, or to regress back to independence, that's what we call falling out of love. Again, before marriage or before any relationship, you are independent. Then, falling in love or having a relationship to get married, you will move from independence to interdependence. Interdependence is the healthy state of marriage, when the spouse depends on one another. After you reach the interdependence in marriage, the relationship can go through one of three directions. Either to remain interdependent, which is the other way, or to move toward dependence. You will be dependent on each other, I will explain this, which is an unhealthy relationship. Or to regress back to independence, that's what we call falling out of love. You understand? Moving from independence, singleness, to interdependence, you need to move through three steps. What are these three steps? Number one, attraction. Number two, acceptance. Number three, fulfillment. Attraction. Attraction, this is the PEA. How do you choose this person and you say, no, I like this person, I need to consider it to be my spouse? Because you got attracted to her, or you got attracted to him. Something reaches in your senses. Either you like how she looks, or you like how she speaks, etc. So this is actually the Eros part. Do you remember Eros, Philia, and Agathe? I'm not going to speak about Storge, because Storge, that's family love, family bond. So this is actually the attraction in the Eros. You got attracted physically to this person. If you jump from attraction to marriage, that is the third type of love. But the spiritual person, actually number two, he starts to observe with his mind. He doesn't make a decision like Simpson. He doesn't make a decision on man's limited attraction. He will start to see the spirituality of the other person, the morality, the character itself, the values, the principles. Then, maybe through some conversation, some activities, social interaction, you're asking about the family and their principles. Then you start to feel comfortable. Your mind will approve the person. Your mind will tell you, yes, she is the right person because she is from a good family. She has a noble character. She has a good heart balance. She is a moral person. She is a spiritual person. So here you start to accept, as you say, the same about you. So here you start to accept one another. So the earth here moves from earth and world into sphere. Feeling. Accept mutual relationship. Then you will move into marriage. And once you make the decision of marriage, here all your care and all your attention is how to fulfill the needs of the other person. As we say to the husband, you need to hasten to please her. And we say to the wife, increase in his obedience many times more than what you will acquire. So here actually your love will move from the philia into to a heaven. You completely forget about yourself to please your spouse. That's why everything you do will be directed toward how to make the other person happy. So the husband does this to make the wife and his wife happy, and she also succeeds. Does this to make him happy. And to fulfill the needs of one another, it does not happen by chance. It doesn't just happen. That's why I said here, you need to make a conscious effort to meet each other's needs. It is a conscious effort. One might ask one, and here I will do whatever it takes to make the other person happy. And unfortunately, we note that making each other happy or fulfilling each other's needs is the first thing married couples stop doing after marriage.
Independence or move a little bit toward dependence. And this is action here. Nothing wrong with this. What I mean by moving toward 50%, 50%, 50%, maybe one time she will take one good vacation to go with her friends, or to spend it with her parents, or maybe he takes one big vacation to go with his friends or to visit his family. So they will be away from each other. That's fine. Or maybe to be dependent, move a little bit toward dependent, so they maybe go together as husband and wife to on a vacation for 1 week, 10 days, and maybe the children will be with the grandparents, so they will go, you know, together and all isolate themselves from everybody. So the relationship can move toward independence or independence. That's healthy. But if the relationship starts to move toward dependence and be permanent in the dependent state, as I will explain to you, this will be upheld. Of course, regressing towards independence, that's what we call falling out of love. So, continued movement towards dependence causes the relationship to be unhealthy, and then the psychosis. How the relationship moves from interdependence to dependence? Again, it goes through three stages. The first stage is called isolation. What do you mean by isolation? One or both partners in a relationship begin to isolate themselves from the other people and focus only on the other person. So she doesn't have any activity in her life, or she doesn't have anything. So they are focusing on one another. As I said, healthy period of isolation is okay. But when we call isolation is unhealthy, when it becomes a habit of lifestyle. The couple isolates themselves from everybody. From everybody. Then actually, from independence to isolation, second step, the sole source of fulfillment. What are the sole source of fulfillment? The person will depend on the other person completely for his needs to be fulfilled. Of course, in our life, the spouse should fulfill the major part of his or her spouse's life. But our needs can be fulfilled through many, many other activities. If only my spouse became the only and the sole source of fulfillment, then the relationship is going in the wrong direction. Why? Because it will be impossible to depend totally on this person to fulfill your needs. The beloved here will feel choked. And here they have that extreme level of jealousy. They become very jealous. And very threatened if somebody gets closer to the spouse, even from the family. And maybe this is the cause of many conflicts between the wife and the mother-in-law. Because the wife perceives her husband as the sole source of fulfillment, and she doesn't want anybody to share him with her, even his mother. Although the relationship between mother and son is totally different between husband and mother, then actually the relationship will go further into obsession. The person will be totally obsessed with this person. Obsessed because the person will regress into immaturity like a child.
You see how the child is obsessed with his mother? And if you try to take the child from his mother, he cries. Because he thought that he's dependent on his mother. And we see in the relationship some spouses, or even in dating relationship, some persons are totally obsessed with the other person. Obsessed means I will live if the other person is mine. But if the loved person ceases to exist, then actually I am also going to exist, but I'm not existing. That's why if a dating relationship reach this level of obsession, when we break up, we hear about murder, how the boyfriend killed the other boyfriend, or why? Because he was totally dependent on this girl. That's why, that's why I'm guilty. And we see many murders took place because of obsession. So, from independence to interdependence, three steps. Attraction, acceptance, fulfillment. From interdependence to dependence, which is unhealthy, isolation, some source of fulfillment, then obsession. Or, as I told you, they can replace by independence. That's falling out of love. And since falling in love is a process, you move from attraction to acceptance to fulfillment, falling out of love is exactly the opposite steps. Or the opposite steps. Number one, they stop to fulfilling one another. So, fulfillment will disappear. So, they regress from a happy love to fear. There is no fulfillment. And because there is no fulfillment, they start to feel unhappy in their relationship. And because they feel unhappy in the relationship, their commitment starts to decrease and the passion starts to disappear. Then actually, you will see a lot of negative behavior between the couple. Like selfish demands, disrespectful attachments, angry outbursts, and this will be like daily practice. So, even the acceptance will be gone. So now the fulfillment is gone, and the acceptance is gone. So the remit from agape to philia, and the philia is gone, so now they will go into eros. They will go towards an independence. What do you mean by eros? They will have been, and they are very, very bad with each other, but everybody actually is demanding his right to them in the intimate relationship. So now it became eros. There is no philia, there is no agape. Became eros. Continued movement away from interdependence indicates that your marriage is in trouble and needs to be addressed. Then even the attraction will be lost. And what will happen? If the couple moves from the interdependence into dependence, actually one of three things will happen in the relationship. What will happen? Number one, there is a near recognition. What a near recognition? The relationship fulfills no one. But we will continue because of external glue. Maybe on a pinch of passion because of the children, or maybe because of the religious belief, there is no divorce for Christianity. Or the difficulty in getting divorced, it will cost us money. So they just live with one another. But there is no for certain. They will be like group names. And maybe they will manage to be very civilized to manage this company. Like two partners owning a business, they manage it very well. But there is no love between them. So maybe they will manage health around this business called health. But if somebody has his own world, and they are totally and emotionally divorced, there's no connection at all. That's what's called alienation. Or infidelity. Once the partner discovered somebody else who fulfilled his or her needs, so he starts to cheat, or she cheats on her husband, or he cheats on his wife. Our number three, when frustration with the other person leads to anger and resentment and withdrawal, then actually maybe they will consider divorce in the relationship conflict. And the decision of divorce, actually, they believe for these things that they will be better out of the relationship. And they will be totally blind to the negative consequences of the divorce. Although divorce is not the solution. And many people, their life became worse after divorce than before. And the funny thing is, they spend a lot of money, and a lot of time, and a lot of effort in order to reach to agreement, how to split their position, how to arrange the custody of the children, etc. And here my question is, would it be more wise to spend all this energy and money and effort to reconcile than to get divorced? And then they reach agreement. Even if they like it or not, they will reach agreement. And they will submit to the court order, whatever. Why don't you submit to the church regulation? And all this energy spent in reconciliation instead of divorcing one another. And one of the most interesting observations in that research, they found that if the person remarried, he will remarry with the same personality. Because you got attracted to this personality to begin with. So, if you divorce your wife or your husband and then you marry another person, in more than 70% of people, they marry the same personality. So we end up with the same personality. Maybe different name, different look, but the same personality. So isn't it better just to try with your wife to be reconciled and live happy? So if you come reach this point, they regret that from interdependence, they don't fulfill one another, they don't accept one another, they are not attracted to any other, to one another. So they become now independent. What they should do? Actually, the solution is easy. You need again to begin from when you start. Attraction, acceptance, fulfillment. But here in attraction, you need actually to try to change yourself, to make yourself love to the other person, to make the other person love to you. And the easy way is to start paying attention to the other's needs and fulfill his or her needs. Once we start fulfilling the needs of one another, Then actually, we'll start accepting one another, trusting one another, because I will feel the other person, now she tries to fulfill my need. So, accepting and trusting each other, spending quality time with each other, learn how to communicate properly. This will make this move again toward the healing. Then they should grow in their love for healing by putting the other completely before myself. And I want you to understand this point very well. When you start pleasing your spouse, actually your spouse will be happy. And because your spouse is happy, he will fulfill your needs, or she will fulfill your needs, then actually your needs will be met. So if you start loving and fulfilling the needs of the other person, you will get by having your own needs met and fulfilled. But here, because of our selfishness, we demand that our need to be fulfilled. That's why everybody is in his place, they are not moving. But when he starts to pay attention to the other person's needs, he will be happy or she will be happy. Then actually this happiness will be reflected in fulfilling my own needs. And this is actually a happy. And that's what happened. Christ actually loved us unconditionally, sacrificially, willfully, limited. Then we loved him. Why we loved him? Because he loved us. But if Christ demanded to love him first, maybe we wouldn't. But as the Paul said, we love him because he loved us first. So, although these steps are very simple, change yourself, accept one another, and fulfill the needs of one another. Like from experience, it works. Hundreds of couples who reach the designation in the relationship learn how to love one another back when they follow these steps. Change, accept, and fulfill. And in order to be successful in fixing the relationship, then of course seeking the family order, maybe some professional help will make the commitment easy and successful. In conclusion, I'd like to bring to your attention the miracle of transforming the water into wine in the wilderness of Cana of Galilee. Water represents the essence of love, as we read in Psalms chapter 8. Love is like fire, meaning water cannot quench. So water is the essence of love. Why is it love? Your love is different than wine. So they said to the Lord, we don't have wine. We don't have love in this relationship. Only what we have is water. One thing what we have is our negative behavior and attitude that actually destroys the love in this relationship. The water that puts off the fire of love. And how many jars? 6 jars. The Lord fulfilled the creation in 6 days. He fulfilled salvation in the 6th hour and in the 6 days. So actually, we use everything possible to destroy love in this relationship. That's number 6. 6 jars of water. But if I bring Christ, the missing number 1. So Christ loved 6 water, 6 jars of water. Would be the perfect number 7. And he will change the water into a, into genuine wine. He will bring love back into this hand. And these things, that this behavior, this negative behavior, that destroys love, actually will be turned into a positive behavior that actually enriches the love in the relationship.
And this is the importance of having Christ in the relationship, of having the family order in the relationship. And remember that agape is not just a feeling, but agape is a decision you make, not just a feeling you feel. So you make a decision to love, to change, to accept, and to fulfill, then actually you will have happy and successful marriage. Glory to God forever.
We have a question, but for 5 minutes, should say it. I'm not sure if you can get that.
They cannot hold hands when they are weeping. But because in the engagement they promise one another of marriage. But I'm telling about the last, and I think that the better this is here or whatever, high school. Not because this is I'm not saying this is bad, but I'm speaking about what happens. No, you don't have authority over the other person, or the other person, but you have this authority. So, holding hands, then we move into hugs, we move into kisses, we move. Second, we take you from one step to another. That's why in the fifth Thessalonians chapter 5, you're like, depending on who you shift the shadow. Not only the evil, but even what looks like evil needs a team. Remember, كذا حاجة كذا عجيبة. When Joseph found that Mary was going to give the baby husband, actually wanted to stop him, not to hug him, because he didn't know that his pregnancy was from the Holy Spirit. That actually, the Spirit, because he was righteous, wanted to release him.
Between boy and girl, from different
marriage is not an option. Marriage is not an option. So there is no unity, there is no money. Now, could you marry for the one who is not of the same religion? No, you cannot. For example, for those many Muslims, Allah could not will the one. Will the one. There is no one. Some more things in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 6. Don't be other that is one talk with other people. Because there is no fellowship between life and darkness. There is no fellowship. And this book has all the commentators from all the nations said about marriage, fixed marriage. You cannot marry from another religion. You cannot. If you want to get to know a person, or you want to go out of them to know them, it's difficult here, as long as they are getting to know each other. Here, I have a question. What are the ways in which you think? The proper age when you are mature to make a decision to marriage.
لو ما عرفش الفلوس الكافية اللي بتصرف علينا فهو لازم نصرف عليهم عشان
Is it wrong to show affection during engagement? لا مش wrong. Within from acceptable boundaries, technically, يعني مثلا hold hands during engagement. And some acceptable boundaries can be allowed during engagement. But this is a problem here for marriage.
Relationship.
Well, then this is our presentation. I don't know what you mean by love me, but if you mean person involved in a relationship, maybe you need just to be from a bright time, you have a full picture about love. So, advise them to talk with the abuna, to talk to him.
Do we
they were with their children and their own denomination. And all the parents of the son, like they were put that way. So we shall talk about the other one, the other one was small. Each shall talk about the other one. So, a baptism in public is saying has to be condemned and accepted for orthodoxy as their own belief system.
Do they even still exist in this generation?
Yes, they exist and exist. Maybe they are not too many, but yes, they exist. They have many, many wonderful young men and young girls who are really, really keeping their purity, and they try to keep all their emotions and all their love their spouse. Yes, they exist. Maybe not too many, but they exist. How can a person know if it is God's will that these two people should be married and it will be a successful marriage? أربع حاجات قلت لما رب في الأساس بالله سوير الله تقول بس أنتني شرسي نمبر 2 give spiritual advice and listen to the advice when a woman tells you something or your parents tells you something listen carefully don't drop their advice and tell something listen number 3 use your mind don't make decisions based on just emotions or attraction or feeling. Use your mind. Don't make decisions based on physical attraction. Another story. Listen to the voice of God. God will speak to you. Maybe through the scripture. He will send you a message. He will send you a word from here. If you focus on those things, actually you'll be able to make a right decision and your marriage will be successful. If the relationship between couples is good and the head teams, but I cannot discipline my spouse in passion toward praying and having the time of God, does it mean our life is not based on the right deeds because I cannot share with him this part of my life? Their individual prayer and their family prayer. So in the family prayer usually, the family time, everybody, yeah, we pray what is moderate for all the family members. And then you have a little prayer. You can spend more time with God if you have more passion as well. And this is acceptable. And this doesn't mean your marriage is not sound or right. Because, you know, in our scripture it says we differ from one another. So you can share the family altar in the family prayer. And on the family prayer we need to choose what is moderate for all but acceptable to all the family members. Then your wonderful life you can spend as much time as you want with God. I know that my mom will be jealous of any girl I choose. How can I deal with that? Don't be like that. Shake the first of the day, smack my mom's head. Why would you think your mom will be jealous of any girl? Mom? Maybe it's better? Yeah, yeah. Talk to her about your worries. And now there is nobody, so she's so jealous. And maybe she talks to her and asks me, so there may be a man asking you about this. And ask her, not in a friendly way, but in a respectful way, just maybe this is a little serious. Maybe this is just a problem. She is worried, not objective, and maybe your mother is so jealous. Since that is what you believe in. Even if she's jealous and you start sharing your words with her from now, maybe you bring this to her attention, and because she loves you, she will not be jealous of any girl. So try to think about it, then choose the right time, and this is this issue with your mother, but in a respectful way, not in a technical way. But your mother is here, don't be jealous.
يعني